Count your blessings and you will see what God has done. Thanksgiving and praise and gratitude, worship, they all go together. They are inextricably linked because when we express our gratitude, when we give thanks, it leads us to think about what we have, and that leads us to praise and worship. When we are reminded that we are God's creation and we belong to Him. That's what I love about Psalm 100. It starts with thanksgiving. Shout for joy to the Lord. Who? Everybody, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And that's what we've done this morning. Why? Just in the knowledge that the Lord is God. He is the one who made us, and we are His. We are the sheep of His pasture, His people. If you stopped right there, it's enough to lead us to praise and worship Him and to be grateful. And that's what the psalmist says. Because of that, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise and give thanks and praise to Him. In verse 5, this is key. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The word love in verse 5 there is hesed. And I can't say that with the way they say it in the Middle East. It's got that chesed. You have to get that in the back of your throat, which I kind of have that going on with my upper respiratory thing right now. It's one of the words in the Bible, many words, for love. We're going to look at a couple of those when we come back together on Wednesday nights because we're going to talk about the difference between two other words for love, mutual affection and agape. Two different other kinds of words for love. But this one is hesed, which means a faithful love, a loyal love that goes beyond the call of duty. It's love that's based on a promise or a covenant that I'm going to love you no matter what. And it's a love that's never abandons and a love that never gives up, which is completely countercultural to our society today. Love today is a feeling, and it's a feeling based on convenience. It's something that I'll love you till I don't anymore, and then I'll toss you aside. God's love for us is not that way. It is hesed. It is a faithful, loyal, enduring, loyal love. It is a wonderful thing, and that leads us to praise and thank Him. But this is a special week of gratitude. It's the week of Thanksgiving. And so I always like to go back and think about how this holiday began. And a little bit of a history lesson that you probably know but need to be reminded of if you're like me. Take yourself back 400 years ago, 403 years ago to be exact, in the spring of 1621, the pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock were hurting. They were in a bad way. 102 of them had come, and only 47 of them remained. Half of them wiped out because of the winter. Many who were remaining were having second thoughts about even coming to this new land. And they were thinking about going home, although that was probably not an easy option. And there were a couple of Native Americans who showed them some tips on how to survive. They taught them some farming techniques. And I remember those lessons from when I was in the first grade and we talked about that. Planting seeds of corn in the ground, but a fish buried beneath that. As those roots started to open, they got into that fish, and it, as it decayed, it fed the soil and fed that seed, acted as fertilizer. That was one of the many things they taught them about raising crops in this new land. They also showed them how to gather wild food from the land, and by the fall of that next year, they had an abundance of food, and they had improved their homes for better chances of surviving the winter that was going to be coming around the corner very soon. And they wanted to do something to commemorate the anniversary of their arrival the year before. And they debated amongst themselves, should we make this a memorial to the people that we've lost, or do we make it a feast of thanksgiving and give God praise for our blessings and our survival, even in the midst of so much tragedy? And they decided to celebrate with a feast of thanksgiving. They consciously, in their difficult circumstances, decided to show their gratitude. And so that was the very first of the Thanksgiving seasons that came in the fall in this new land. Many years later, Congress passed a resolution directing George Washington, our first president, to establish a national day of Thanksgiving. It wasn't until almost 100 years later that Abraham Lincoln designated the fourth Thursday in November as a day of Thanksgiving, and it didn't become a national holiday until 1941. So even though the tradition of Thanksgiving and as a nation started 400 years ago, it didn't become an official holiday until about 80 years ago. I'm glad it finally made it, and I'm glad the pilgrims who landed here, even though they were in a difficult situation, took the time to praise God, because the Bible has a lot to say about the subject of thanksgiving and gratitude, and we talked about it last week, but there's just more to say. So at the risk of being repetitive, thank you for letting me spend another Sunday to talk about this. If we were going to have another text besides Psalm 100, it would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18. Paul, talking to the church in Thessalonica, said, "I ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Be thankful for the people who correct you," he's saying. "Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work, and live in peace with each other as a church family. And we," he and the other apostles, "urge you, brothers and sisters, to warn those who are idle and disruptive, to encourage those who are disheartened, to help the weak, and to be patient with everyone, and make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong." All of those things he's saying, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Live well together, he's saying. And then these last three verses, he says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So these verses, along with our call to worship, tell us that we need to be thankful. It tells us who we are to be grateful to, who are we to express our gratitude toward, why we should be thankful, when we should be thankful, and how we should express our thanks. And if you want to fill in some blanks on your bulletin, that's what you can fill in as we go along. First of all, who are we thankful to? And yes, I ended my sentence with a preposition, and that's okay. I give you permission to do that. Who are we thankful to? We're thankful to God. Now, that may seem really obvious and ridiculous, but to us, because we have that mindset. But that's countercultural. It's not what the rest of the world does. You know, today, and I see this on Facebook and other social media posts, where people will say things about asking the universe, seeking vibes, you know, and I'm like, what? Paul talked about that. People who would turn to the creation and worship the creation, and they're looking for positive vibes from people. And we're reminded that we don't worship the universe. We don't expect the creation to bless us. I mean, it is a blessing, but we go a level higher than that, and we go to the one who created the universe, who spoke it into existence, and that's who we show our gratitude to. I read a story a while back about a Christian was walking with her atheist friend through the woods, and it was just, they were taking in the beauty. It was this time of year. The leaves were turning and the birds were singing. It's just a beautiful day. The temperature was perfect, and the atheist said, "You know, I am just really grateful for all of this." And the Christian friend laughed and turned to her and said, "To who? You're an atheist. Who are you grateful to? The universe? You know, don't you see the ridiculous nature of being an atheist? You've got to look at the creation and realize who blessed it, who blessed us with it all." And that's what we are called to do. We don't ask the universe for blessings. We don't thank the universe. And here's another one that we do need to remind ourselves of. This is biblical. It was the rich fool who had such a bountiful harvest this time of year in the fall. And he had such a great harvest that he's like, "Man, I've really done well. I've got this great harvest. It's so much so that my barns won't even hold it all. So what am I going to do? I'm going to tear down the barns. I'm going to build new ones, and it'll hold it, and I'll eat, drink, and be merry. He's basically thanking himself, patting himself on the back for his blessings. And his life was required of him that very night. God called him a fool. So we don't thank ourselves for our blessings. We don't pat ourselves on the back. We acknowledge the one who blesses us. When George Washington declared that first Thanksgiving proclamation by order of Congress, he understood this. And here's what that said. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, not Allah, not Buddha, not anybody else. And if anybody tells you that this nation was not founded on Christian principles, they're wrong. It was the providence of Almighty God to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committees requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed and acknowledging with thankful hearts the many favors of Almighty God, not the universe. Now, therefore, do I recommend and assign this Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted to the people or by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. George Washington. Don't tell me that our founding fathers were not Christians and believers. They may have had their flaws, but they founded this nation on Christian principles. He acknowledged, George Washington did, what James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Psalm 105 says, give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 106 says, give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord. Over and over in the Psalms, we are told that our gratitude should be expressed to God. Yes, we express gratitude to each other for the blessings that we are to each other and the way that we get to serve each other and the way we get to bless each other's lives. But beyond that, we thank God for each person in our family. We thank God for every blessing that we have. He is the one to whom we express our gratitude. And why should we be thankful? Oh man, we have so many things to be thankful for. As the song says, sometimes this can be a challenge when we're going through challenges in life. Stop and count your blessings. And as this call to worship reminds us, we're His. We are the sheep of His pasture. That alone is enough to lead us into praise. He protects us because He values us. He saves us, and that is an ongoing thing. He sent Jesus for us, but His salvation, as we see over and over through Scripture, is an ongoing work that He is working in us. His Spirit lives in us, and He tells us that He continues to work on us, and we need to be grateful for that. He promises us that He's coming back for us. He left His Holy Spirit in us as a deposit, and He is never changing. As Wayne said in class this morning, the same God that we read about in the Old Testament is the same God that we serve and worship today. He is never changing. He is always right. He is always just, and He is always faithful. His love endures forever. So we have so much to be thankful for. We just have to sometimes look for it and remind us. And again, to think of the love, the faithful and loyal love that He has for us, and the meager love that we can offer back as humans. It's barely enough to be worthy. We're not worthy of what He has done for us. So when should we be thankful? Again, in all circumstances. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that's what Paul tells us. In all circumstances, give thanks. In Ephesians 3, he told the church in Ephesus, always give thanks. So always and in all circumstances covers all the bases. And some days we focus on the small things that get us down, and they may not seem too small when we're wrestling with them. But choosing gratitude, as we talked about last week, helps us to refocus on the things that change our attitude. It changes us. I think about so many things where I can get focused on the negative and miss the positive. I think about, you know, I usually file an extension to pay income taxes, so October is my tax month. And you can complain about paying taxes, or you can be grateful for the job that gives you the income and allows you to be taxed. You can be thankful, or you can complain about the taxes, or you can be thankful for the highways and the health care and all the different blessings that we enjoy as a country. You can complain that your clothes fit a little too tight after Wednesday night, or you could be thankful for all the food that we enjoyed and the fellowship that we had, and for belts that have holes that we can expand a little bit. You can complain about the leaves in the yard and in the gutters, or you can be grateful for the beautiful trees that produce them. And if you've lived in the panhandle like I have, you appreciate trees. You can join in the grumbling about our government, or you can be thankful to live in a place where we have freedom of speech and we're allowed to talk about our government and we get to vote. So many things we can be thankful for. You can complain about the person who sings off key in church, or you can be grateful that they're here and that they are choosing to worship God instead of sleeping in. You can be upset about the piles of laundry and the dirty house that you have and the dirty dishes, or realize that it means you've got family and that they have clothes to wear and you've got dirty dishes because you had food to eat. And I can't help but think this week about the family in Imperial out by Monahans that lost their three children in a car crash. 18-year-old twin boys and a 15-year-old daughter who were gone in a second. And I'm sure their family, their mother and father, would love to have more dirty laundry and more dirty dishes in the sink and to welcome those children at home. You can complain when the alarm goes off in the morning, or you can say, "Good morning, Lord. Thank you for another day." Or you can complain when you get out of bed and you hear the snap, crackle, and pop, that the joints hurt, but you can be thankful that you're still moving around. Be thankful that you're still mobile. It's 100 choices every day, and you have to choose. Wednesday night, we had kids here, and that was such a blessing. And they made a mess, and that's okay. It's one of those things. You can complain about the messes, or you can be thankful that there are kids here to make the messes. We used to have a couple of dozen kids here every Wednesday night, and they're gone now. And I was reminded this week about those kids who run up and down the hallways and chase each other around, and they spill food on the floor, and how they are such a blessing to us. And it's our opportunity to be a blessing to them. And to punctuate this point, I got this card in the mail this week, and I won't tell you her name, but she says, "I was my family." Or Buffalo Gap Church of Christ is where I was first rooted in Christ. My family attended years ago, but I can still feel the love we were surrounded with. I don't have a lot to give, but I want to give. And she sent a donation. It's in the offering this morning. I want to give what I can to a church that built me. She's a student now in nursing school. Not your daughter. She's a student in nursing school, and she said at her very last line, "Thank you for helping me grow a faith at a young age." Those kids that run up and down the hallway, who come in and out, let the flies in, spill the food, are a blessing. They are the life of our church, and we have the responsibility and the opportunity to bless them with the faith that has been blessed to us. What was handed to us, we get to hand back to them and keep the legacy going. As I said, you can always look for ways to complain, or you can be thankful. Choose to be thankful. This weekend, Angela and I had to look for one of those too. We got to make a trip to Shreveport and back, 400 miles out and 400 miles back, to deliver two cats. Two cats. And I had to stop. I had to laugh. I said, "My grandfather, you know, everything had to have a purpose for my grandfather. If there was a tree on the farm and it didn't produce fruit, cut it down. It's just sucking nutrients out of the soil. No good. Cut it down." And cats, if he let them live, had to go in the barn and do it, you know, serve a purpose. And I laughed. I'm like, he would shake his head at me for I'm driving 400 miles to deliver two cats to my son's fiance, because we were cat sitting, the grand cats. And we had to find, and we got to a hotel, because I'm not driving 800 miles in one day. Get to a hotel, and they said, "Do you have any pets?" I can't lie. I'm a preacher, for crying out loud. I can't lie. I'm like, "Yeah, cat." I said, "One." I just said, "Cat." I didn't say the S, so I kind of white lied. This guy behind the desk said, "We don't allow cats." And I handed him a $20 bill. I said, "Well, this, you know, take care of cleaning and convenience." He's like, "That'll be fine." So I'm confessing a little bit of bribery this morning. And all the way, I'm like, I'm tired. My rear end is numb. Angela's got a cold that I gave to her. And we could focus on the negative. But I'm thankful for 30 minutes with my son. To have lunch on the other end. And it's okay. We got to enjoy the trees of the piney woods of East Texas. Sheila, I thought about you. Piney woods, but they're all green, but the trees around them were shedding their leaves in beautiful color. And I'm like, I was reminded, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful drive. Thank you for our kids and for their cats. It's okay. We have to make the choice. As we said last week, our materialistic culture wants you to focus on what you don't have, but a grateful heart looks at what we do have, counts those blessings, and appreciates what we have. And I'm here to remind myself, and I'm here to remind you, it's not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. You don't stop and give thanks because you're happy. You give thanks and you become happy in the process. The contentment that grows in you is a wonderful thing, and it's contagious. And finally, how do we express our thanks? We worship. We worship. David said, shout for joy to the Lord. Worship with joy. We have so many reasons to be happy. Even if it's just the day the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, we will do that. We come together and we sing songs. And even if you can't carry a tune, it's okay. Sing. Give thanks to God because He is our Creator and He is good. He is always good. He is always just and He's always right. He is our shepherd and our protector, and we are the sheep of His pasture. And so we give thanks in all situations, even when we've got to really look for something to be thankful for. And we express that joy. We express it individually during the week as you're going about your day doing the little tasks every day. If there are fingerprints on the windows, be thankful for the little hands that put them there. Give thanks. If you're washing dishes, be grateful that you've got running water. You got hot water even. Maybe you've got a dishwasher. You've got a clothes washer, and you're not going down to the creek and beating clothes on a rock like they were not too terribly long ago. And we come together and collectively express our praise and worship for the blessings that we have in life. Because no matter what problems we face here, in God's kingdom, we really have no problems at all. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture, His inheritance. We are saved by His grace, and any suffering that we go through here, as Paul said, is light and momentary, and it's going to fade away compared to the eternal blessings that we have. One last example or illustration of gratitude that humbles me is about the life of Fanny Crosby. If you've been around church hymns for a while, you know that Fanny Crosby wrote a lot of our songs that we sing. She was born in 1820. 200 years ago, 204 years ago. And as an infant, Fanny Crosby was blinded. Her father died when she was just a year old. And her grandmother said, "I will be her eyes. I'm going to be Fanny's eyes." And so her grandmother described everything to her. She read to her and she prayed with her. And Fanny, even though she didn't have eyesight, memorized the first four books of the Bible. Now, if you can memorize Genesis, I'll buy you a steak dinner. I'll buy you a car, probably, because you can't. You can't. She memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. I mean, I can't believe that. Then she memorized the four Gospels, the entire book of Proverbs, and many of the Psalms. She memorized them. She couldn't read them on a page, but she heard them and committed them to memory, which meant her grandmother or someone had to read them to her. Over her life of 95 years, She wrote a few songs, a little over 6,000 to be exact. And the songbook publishers were getting so many songs from her that they finally just started making up names and putting them different names on them because they didn't want Fanny Crosby to write every song in the book. Some of the songs that she wrote that you know well are Blessed Assurance, To God Be the Glory, and A Wonderful Savior Is Jesus My Lord. And the third stanza of that song begins with numberless blessings each moment He crowns and fills with His fullness divine. I will sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. She was blind and lost her father when she was a year old, but she found ways to show her gratitude and express it. And it changed how she lived, and it changed our lives for many of us as the songs of hers that we sing. You may not be a writer of songs or poetry, but you can write a list. And we are commanded to be thankful, as we sang, to count our blessings and be thankful in all situations and to always be thankful. And so I challenge you this week to write down every day three things that you are thankful for. Three things and one person. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I want you to really put it into action this week. It's Thanksgiving week. And then the next day, thank God for those three things and that person all day through the day. And at the end of that day, write three more things and one more person. And thank that person by in person or send them a card, give them a call, send them a text, shoot them an email, however you can do it. And do it again every day, at least through this week. We ought to do it between now and we ought to do it every day. At least do it now until Christmas. And every day you'll be reminded of so many blessings that you have. And I challenge you, as you do this, to take note of your attitude. If the gratitude doesn't lead you to be a happier and more fulfilled person and a grateful person, then come talk to me. Let's pray together. But I think it will change you. I think it will change us. We need to acknowledge God for what He has blessed us with. So many things. We come together with our blessings and we share our blessings with people in need. We're going to do that with Oscar and Lola. We're going to talk about that. We're going to see what their needs are and we're going to try to take care of them. We always do that for each other. We come together and when we realize what we have, it leads us to be generous. It leads us to be grateful to God, and that leads us to worship. Will you pray with me, please?